I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
Today we're tackling the Nacogdoches meat pie.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Welcome to episode 47 of Cooking with Fire. We took a couple episodes off this past month because my wife and I had our second child at the beginning of the month, and I took time away to hang out with my family. But today we're back with another great episode and a great recipe.
Meat pies are famous around the world, with England, Australia, Canada, Spain, and many others having local versions that are sought after by locals and tourists alike. But there is a meat pie that has made a name for itself a little closer to home, the Nacogdoches meat pie from Louisiana.
The Nacogdoches meat pie takes its name from the city of the same name in northern Louisiana. And the city is famous for its meat pie festival, which happens each fall. But where did meat pies come from, and how exactly did they spread around the world? This will come as no surprise to our listeners, but the Greeks are credited with the creation of the meat pie. But you have to go back a bit further and across the Mediterranean Sea to find roots for this dish. The Egyptians were some of the earliest bread bakers, and their ovens inspired the wood-fired ovens of Western Europe. On the walls of the tomb of Ramses II, there are hieroglyphics of breads that were baked with honey and oats. These early pastry recipes traveled north through trade routes, and both the Greeks and Romans began baking various pie-like dishes.
The Romans are credited with the first pie, a rye-crusted honey and goat cheese pie. But it is the Greeks who are credited with creating the handheld meat pies we know and love today. Trade was common between these two regions, and Catholic missionaries spread pies around Europe so much so that by the mid-14th century, the word pie was common throughout the continent.
Louisiana is a melting pot of European and South American cultures, so it is no surprise that the Nacogdoches, or Nacogdish, depending on where you're from, meat pie is similar to both the Spanish beef empanada and the ground beef empanada of Argentina. The city itself was founded in 1714 as a trading outpost by French explorers and was the oldest European settlement within the borders of the 1803 Louisiana Purchase. The exact history of their version of the meat pie is unknown, but one would assume that European settlers, especially those of the Catholic faith, would have brought these recipes with them when they traveled.
One interesting aspect of this recipe is the use of flour instead of cornmeal for the dough. Wheat grows poorly in the damp swamps of Louisiana, and corn is a far more popular crop. So wheat flour would have been imported either from the north or from Mexico to create these dishes. It is because of this that we can safely say that the original recipe was brought by the settlers who didn't want to change their dishes to match locally available ingredients. Of course, wheat flour is a commodity that's simple to pick up these days, but for centuries, it would have been an expensive and difficult to obtain ingredient for people living in Louisiana. Finally, the filling of the pie is quite simple and uses a mixture of both beef and pork, which is a departure from the more common ground beef empanadas it is a descendant of. Also, the cayenne and Cajun-style seasoning brings out different flavors than one is used to in Spanish-style empanadas.
Now is the perfect time to cut out to Chef Tom in the ATBBQ.com Teaching Kitchen and get started on today's recipe.
Well, the first thing we're going to do today is make the filling for our meat pie. So we're just going to preheat a 12-inch cast iron skillet over medium heat. Want to get down a couple tablespoons of vegetable oil. We're using two different kinds of meat in this meat pie. We've got some ground beef as well as some ground pork. Equal parts, so a half pound of each. And once your skillet's nice and hot, you want to get the meat in there. We'll break this up and we're going to start to brown it. All right, so it really just takes a few minutes for this meat to kind of cook through. And it's all right if there's still some pink spots because we're going to continue to cook the meat as we begin to add our vegetables. Now what we have to add to this is the holy trinity of yellow onions, celery, and green bell pepper. So 2 cups of onion and 1 cup each of the celery and pepper. We begin to mix that around and incorporate everything. We're also going to add our seasonings at this time. I've got a tablespoon, just some of our favorite Cajun rub, just sort of amp everything up a little bit by adding another teaspoon of cayenne, another teaspoon of dried oregano, a teaspoon of dried thyme, and a little extra salt. We've got a lot of stuff to season here, and those are the flavors that I really want to bump up. All right, so at this point, this is going to take a little while to cook down, probably about 10 minutes or so, but what you're looking for is for the peppers, the onions, and the celery to all be softened. All right, and it's been about 10 minutes now. We're looking at the onions, and they've gone from sort of a white color to more translucent. You can really hear the sizzle on the skillet, which tells us that the liquid is being reduced out. We are going to add one more thing before we get into the braising portion of this, and that's a little bit of fresh garlic. You definitely couldn't have one of these hand pies without any garlic in it. And we're going to add that here at the end just to keep from scorching any of the garlic since they're in nice small pieces. Immediately opens up the aroma of the garlic. The dried herbs have been rehydrated with the cooking liquid that's coming out of the vegetables, so they're really opening up their aroma as well. And to really fortify the flavor, what we're going to do next is add some beef stock. So this is going to continue to cook the veggies down, but it's also going to add a bit more beef flavor. And we're going to let this completely reduce down. So we're starting with 2 cups of beef stock. And that's going to come to a simmer, and we're just going to let this simmer away probably for another 5 to 10 more minutes until that liquid is almost gone. And if you're wondering, well, what's the point of adding the liquid if we're just going to cook it out? Well, the point is the liquid's got lots of flavor in it, so lots of beef flavor, some vegetable flavors. And what happens when you reduce this liquid down is it concentrates all of the flavors into the small amount of liquid that's left behind. So think of it like a balsamic reduction. It really thickens up all those flavors and intensifies them. So let's leave this to work now. It's simmering away, and we'll come back to check on it as the liquid reduces out. Well, as this filling mixture is cooking down and that liquid's reducing, I'm gonna move on to preparing our dough. So I'm gonna start off with 1 pound or 3 cups of all-purpose flour. Just in a medium-sized mixing bowl here, kind of mixing it around, fluff it up, make sure you don't have any lumps, or you can sift it. We'll add to that 1.5 teaspoons of kosher salt and 3/4 teaspoon of baking powder. So mix all of that in really well. Just using a fork to mix it around. And then I'm going to cut in 1/2 cup of lard. You could also use vegetable shortening. For this technique, you can either use a pastry cutter, or what I'm gonna do today is just take 2 forks and start to work the lard into the flour, and it's going to break up into smaller pieces. So just kind of mashing that lard into the flour. You want to break this down until you have a nice crumbly mixture and the lard is kind of in pea-sized chunks. Now I've worked at that for a couple of minutes. We've got sort of this shaggy flour mixture, and now we're going to add our liquid. Starts off with 1 egg. I'm gonna crack that into a separate container. Add to that 3/4 cup of whole milk and give that a little whisk. And then we'll add the egg and milk mixture all at once to the flour. I'll start this process off just by working it with the fork until it becomes too thick. So we've got something that's not quite holding together yet, but there's also a bit of flour at the bottom. So what I'd like to do is wipe the dough off the fork and turn it out onto a lightly floured surface. And from here, I'm just gonna begin to sort of gently knead and squeeze this dough together, picking up any excess flour and working it into the dough. To get a little bit of sticking, just put a little bit more flour down. We're not gonna work this too much. We want it to be a tender dough, just enough for it to kind of start to smooth out and holds together into one really nice cohesive dough ball. And at this point, got it in a ball, gonna flatten it out into a disc and wrap it in plastic wrap to transfer and store in the refrigerator for at least 1/2 hour, or even overnight's fine. You just wanna give that gluten some time to relax. So at least 30 minutes in the fridge, wrapped in plastic. Back to check on our filling, and again, the sizzling sound's getting louder and louder. As I mentioned before, that means that the liquid started to cook out, and it's, we've got just a little bit of beef stock left. So all of that flavor is concentrated now. There's one last thing we need to do. I'm gonna turn this down kind of to a medium low so we don't scorch anything. We're gonna add just 1 tablespoon of flour to the mixture. So this bit of flour is gonna act as a thickening agent. Any liquid that is in there is now really going to tighten up. The whole mixture will tighten up. We gotta give the flour a couple minutes to cook out that raw flour taste. So about 2 more minutes now, just kind of stirring and making sure nothing's scorching. But this is essentially the filling in its finished stage. So before we stuff this into our dough, we wanna cool it down. I recommend taking it out of the skillet and throw it in the fridge until it's chilled off. Now that the dough is rested, I'm turning it out onto our floured work surface once again, and I'm gonna divide it into four pieces, and then we're gonna divide each of those four pieces into four pieces. So now we have 16 equal sized pieces of dough. You just wanna press it out into a disc shape on your work surface, and then take a rolling pin and roll it out till it's about 6 inches in diameter. All right, so once you've got your discs rolled out, you're gonna take your filling, which is cooled down now, and you wanna add 2 tablespoons of the filling to the top of your disc of dough. Each one of these will get 2 tablespoons. And I'm just gonna form this to fit right on 1/2 so that we can make sort of a semicircle shape as we fold this over. Get yourself a container of cold water and dip your fingers in there, and then just use your fingers to sort of paint the edge of the dough with the water. This is going to allow the dough to stick to itself. Then you can fold the dough over the filling, press it into place, and using a fork, you can crimp the edge. So that's really all there is to the assembly of the meat pie. I'm gonna repeat this process with the rest of these, and then we'll get them into the fryer. Now I've filled a 7-quart Dutch oven about half full of vegetable oil, and I've preheated that oil to 375 degrees. You can use an instant read thermometer to make sure that you're right around that 375, or just a touch over as the temperature is going to drop once you add the pies to the hot oil. So I'm gonna take about 3 of these at a time. I don't wanna overcrowd, and just gently drop them into the oil here. You should immediately get a really nice bubbling out of the oil if it's at the right temperature. Your pies may wanna float if they've got an air pocket in them. So I like to take what we call a spider, sort of like a slotted spoon, and just work and make sure that they're browning evenly. And this process should only take about 3 minutes, but you're really just gonna look to the color. You want a nice, dark, golden brown color. All right, I've just sort of been turning these to make sure they brown evenly. By the end here, they're all floating at the top, so it's pretty easy to flip them over and get the other side brown. But this is just about 3 minutes in, beautiful golden brown color on these. The inside is going to be reheated all the way at this point. So these are done and ready to come out of the oil. Transfer each one of these to either paper towels or a wire rack, just something to make sure you can get that excess oil off the surface of the pie. All right, I'm gonna repeat with the rest of these meat pies, but that is the entire process.
That does it for today's episode. Let us know if you cook this recipe and email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com to let us know what else you'd like us to feature on the show.
And as always, visit kmuw.org to get the full recipe for this week's cook.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. This allows us to reach more listeners. And join us next time as Chef Tom cooks up a full English breakfast.